Boy, wasn't that a blessing. Amen. All right. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, please, in the Old Testament book of Psalms. The Old Testament book of Psalms. If you would find Psalm 23, if you would find your place there in the pages of the Lord, of the Word of God. Over the summer months, I have been spending a lot of time in Psalm 23, just soaking, letting God speak to my heart. You know, I believe if we were to list, every person in here were to list the top five Bible passages, some their favorite Bible passages, probably somewhere on that list would be Psalm 23. I believe it'd be on the list and probably right up there near the top, if the truth be known. It's probably one of the best known and most loved passages in all of the Bible. Psalm 23 has visited many a saint and brought them hope in their darkest hour. It's been read at the bedside of the sick and dying to bring them comfort in those moments. It's visited the discouraged and downtrodden and brought them encouragement. It's visited the weak and weary and brought them rest and refreshment. You know what I found? Psalm 23 is good for the mountaintop because it'll bring you a heart full of rejoicing that of your great shepherd. Amen. I trust you found Psalm 23, and one verse will be on the screen. I'm going to read all six, but I'll come back to verse number one as we journey together over the next several weeks in this psalm. Notice the Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, you know, you could end it right there. But the next five verses are going to flow out of this one verse. Verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." I believe it's run over a little bit this morning in here. What about you? Verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a wonderful passage of Scripture. I want to talk to you this morning about the song of the shepherd. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, thank You for the Word of God today. Thank You, Lord, for the sweet, sweet passage of Scripture, Lord, known as the 23rd Psalm. Thank You most of all for the one it's about, our shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that we'll get acquainted with Your Son today. I pray, Lord, that we would draw near to You, that we would understand Your working in our lives, the relationship we have with You. Lord, how You view us and how we should view You. Lord, to realize that You're at work in our lives right now. And Lord, that You want to be everybody's shepherd. Lord, there may be somebody here today and You're not their shepherd, but Lord, You sure want to be. And I pray that before the service is out, they'll come to know You as Savior. And Lord, we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, Psalm 23 has been referred to as the Psalm of Psalms. It's been called the Pearl of Psalms. Another termed it the Song of the Souls of Men. Another wrote about it, said it's the sweetest song ever sung. And another person said it was the psalm that everybody knows. Robert McQuilkin, in his book on the 23rd Psalm, said this. He said, "The 23rd Psalm is the greatest poem penned in any language. It reigns supreme in the circles of highest culture and in the humble homes of the lowly. It sounds all the chords of human experience." Now, I want you to notice in your Bible that there is an inscription above your psalm in our Bible. It actually forms the first verse of this psalm in the Hebrew Bible. And it says it's a psalm of David, that he's the inspired poet of this psalm. He was a young man that lived a shepherd's life. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that during his formative years, he tended his father Jesse's flock. And he was intimately aware of the bond that a shepherd has with his sheep and the sheep have with their shepherd. And I believe you could say that Psalm 23 is written about a shepherd by a shepherd. And you're going to find that in this psalm, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, expounds and extols and exalts what it means to be a sheep in the Lord's flock. Now, if you want to get the picture, you need to understand that here in Psalm 23, it is a sheep talking about their shepherd. It talks about how a sheep views the shepherd. When you go to John 10, which is the zenith of passages dealing with the shepherd ministry of our God, there you find how the shepherd views his sheep. And they actually go together. They fit together like a hand in glove. And you know, here over the next several weeks, we're going to explore together this magnificent psalm. And we're going to journey through what I've termed the song of the shepherd. The song of the shepherd. I want you to notice, first of all, it is a song of realization. It is a song of realization. Look again, if you would please, at the first two words of Psalm 23. How it begins, the Lord. Do you see that? David, he said, I want you to know who my shepherd is. I want to brag on my shepherd. You know, you never go wrong bragging about your God. By the way, the world needs to hear about our God. They're trying to rid themselves of God. They need to hear about our God. They need to know that there is a God and a God who loves them. Those who know the Lord this morning, can I just tell you that David's shepherd is your shepherd? Notice, he names him, he gives his name directly in these first two words, the Lord. The Lord in all capital letters means this is Jehovah, it's Yahweh. He's the great I Am. He's the God who is. He's the uncaused God. He exists. What we would say is He's the eternal, self-existent Creator God of the universe. If you thought about this morning, that the God of the entire universe, the Maker of all things, that you're His sheep and He's your shepherd. No wonder David can say a little bit later on, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Matter of fact, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills and the gold under the hills. Amen. Notice that He's Jehovah God, and the Jehovah God of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Jesus' very name means Jehovah saves. Aren't you glad that Jesus saves today? Hey, the world needs to know that He saves, and the one who saved me is the one who shepherds me. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus stepped into the shepherd's role that's described in Psalm 23, and He claimed it for Himself. Robert Morgan, in his book called the 23rd Psalm, said He wrapped Himself in the verses of Psalm 23 the way an ancient shepherd would put on his coat. You see, Jesus is Psalm 23 personified. Everything that a shepherd is to his sheep is what Jesus is to you and I. And I'm glad to say with sweet assurance that the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. Isn't that a wonderful truth today? Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter 2:25, For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Aren't you glad we have a wonderful shepherd? Amen. Now before you and I can delve into the secrets of Psalm 23, we need to understand its setting. How it's nestled in the Word of God. We want to see what's before it and what's after it. Psalm 23, of course, comes after Psalm 22, but yet it comes before Psalm 24. You're going to find that these are a threefold trilogy of Psalms. They're called the Shepherd Psalms. They're prophetic in nature, as they set before us the shepherd ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now bear with me just a moment as we talk about the setting of the psalm. And notice, if you would, that Psalm 22 is the psalm of the cross. Here you see Jesus as the sufferer. I wrote above Psalm 22, the song of the cross. I put there that it's about the cross. I'm reminded that here Jesus is the sufferer for the sins of mankind, and it presents Him as the good shepherd who will die for the sheep. You remember John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so it's the psalm of the cross. Then you come to Psalm 23, and here you have the crook, The shepherd's crook. Here, Jesus is the shepherd. Here, He's presented as the great shepherd in life who cares for His sheep. And that's what He's doing right now. We read that a moment ago in Hebrews 13:20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Then when you come to Psalm 24, here is the Psalm of the Sovereign. It's the Psalm of the Crown. I put a crown here next to this Psalm. It presents Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd in His sure return. Many times I've read commentaries that picture this Psalm as the Psalm of the Ascension, but actually it's the Psalm of His return as Jesus Christ comes in all of His glory, all of His splendor, all of His greatness to claim the kingdom that belongs to Him. Friend, one day His kingdom will come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we find the Psalm of the Cross, the Psalm of the Crook, and the Psalm of the Crown. Notice these three Psalms encompasses all that Jesus is to us. In Hebrews 13, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same. Aren't you glad He doesn't change? I may change, you may change. The life around us may change. The world changes, but He never changes. He's the one constant in an ever-changing universe. Not only does He never change, but can I remind you today, His Word never changes. It's forever settled in heaven. He's magnified it above all His name. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know what that tells me? That what He was in eternity past, He is in the present and will forever be in eternity future. He never changes. Now, I want you to see this played out in these three Psalms. In Psalm 22, He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday. That takes care of my past. The Psalm of the Cross, He takes care of my sin. It's a picture of forgiveness. Fast forward to Psalm 24, if you would please. It's here that He's the Sovereign. He's Jesus forever. The same forever. Here we find He takes care of my future. Aren't you glad that my past is settled and my future is secure? Isn't that good? And then you come to Psalm 23 and it takes care of my present. What He is to me right now. I'm glad God didn't save me and then leave me. Somebody said on one side is Psalm 22 in Mount Calvary. On the other side is Psalm 24 in Mount Zion. And nestled in between is the valley of Psalm 23 with its green pastures and still waters. I want you to notice a little word is in verse number 1. The Lord is. Notice that's in the present tense. That's what He's doing right now. Notice He says the little word bursting with meaning. David did not say the Lord was my shepherd. He did not say, the Lord will be my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. It's what He's doing for me right now. Now here's what's interesting. Do you know that there is not one petition in this prayer? David doesn't ask the Lord for anything. Now, I don't think it's wrong to ask God for things. David does ask God for things in other psalms, and he prays and makes petition to the God of heaven. And you know what he said? The Lord heard me. Aren't you glad that God hears you today? And there's not a petition and there's not a promise in this psalm. And what I mean by that is God's not promising me anything in this psalm. It's not a prayer to pray. It is not a promise to claim. It is a reality to be experienced. It's what God's doing right now. It's what's going on in my life. It's what He can do for me right now. It is a song of realization. Church, here's what I want to happen as we work our way through the shepherd's song in the coming weeks. I want us to realize who our shepherd is and I want us to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Number two, it is a song of relationship. Would you jot that down? It's a song of relationship. Notice if you would, the Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I study my Bible and many of our biblical heroes were shepherds. Did you know that? Abel was the first shepherd, okay, written about in Scripture. And then you've got Job was a shepherd. He had flocks and herds. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, Joseph. All of these great men were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd before he led the nation of Israel. Isn't it amazing how that before God had a man to lead His people in the Old Testament, oftentimes He taught them how to lead sheep first? You know why? Because God says we're sheep. Now, don't let that flatter you. We're going to talk about that a little more in the next message. But King David, the writer of our psalm, was a shepherd. But here's what struck me, and I most of all. And actually, this is born out of a challenge that I gave our staff about the importance of being a shepherd, having a shepherd's heart, and shepherding God's people. And here's what I learned. God reveals Himself as a shepherd God. And anyone that God places over His people in a place of leadership is an under-shepherd. And I recognize that I'm the under-shepherd of Calvary Baptist Church and I'm responsible for the entire flock. But yet, do you know, Sunday school teacher, God's made you a shepherd of a flock? And school teacher, God's made you a shepherd of a flock? And bus captain, God, and bus worker, God has given you a flock. And RU worker, God's given you a part of that flock. Do you realize how that all of us are a part of leading God's flock under the leadership of the under-shepherd who looks to the great shepherd? Isn't that amazing? We're all to be sheep herders, caring for God's sheep. The word shepherd is a shortened form of the word sheep herder. It's the Hebrew, and I thought this was interesting. It comes from, the Hebrew word for friend is derived from the Hebrew word for shepherd. Somebody wrote in Bible times, the dog wasn't man's best friend, but the sheep was. I thought that was interesting. God doesn't talk about a man and his dog. The master. He doesn't. God talks about a shepherd and a sheep. Here's why. Do you know that a dog can survive without its master? But a sheep cannot live without its shepherd. God uses the bond between His shepherd and His sheep to describe the bond, the relationship that He has with each one of us. Let me give you a couple verses on that. Psalm 100 verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I'm glad I'm one of His sheep and His pasture. I love Isaiah 40 verse 11. It speaks volumes to me. I've marked this in my Bible. It's worth memorizing. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. He cradles them. Do you know at times God cradles you and shall gently lead those that are with young? Aren't you glad that we have a great shepherd who's a gentle shepherd in our lives? Psalm 23, 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Wow. It's interesting when you see the personal nature of this psalm. As you work your way through the psalm, there is a prevalent use of personal pronouns. David's going to refer to God about 11 times in this psalm. Two times directly, he's going to call Him the Lord at the beginning and the Lord at the end. Okay, you can see that first verse, last verse. In between, there are 9 personal pronouns. He, His, Thou, and Thy. Okay? And then he's going to refer to himself 16 times in 6 verses. And I circle them in different colors. So when I look at my Bible, I see that borne out to me in the words I, me, my, and mine. David is talking about an individual. Let me just tell you, when God looks down, He doesn't just see a whole bunch of sheep. He sees you. He says, I know my sheep by name. He said, they follow me. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish and nobody will pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that powerful? So we find it's a psalm of relationship. I want to draw your attention to the word my. It's a word of possession. It's a word of ownership. It's a word of relationship. There's nothing like that little pronoun my. A group of women can be looking at a cooing baby. Oh, and they say, oh, what a beautiful baby. What a sweet baby. But only the mother can say, that's my baby. See the difference? There can be a group of ladies and standing around talking and only the husband can point to one and say, that's my wife. That's one of relationship. I might know all the other ladies in the group, but that one's mine. There's a sense of children playing on a playground, and a grandparent looks over at a couple children coming down a slide, and those are my grandchildren. Oh, there may be a wonderful group of children playing, but those aren't mine. They belong to me. It's ownership. And David said, the Lord is mine. Can you say He's yours today? And can you say you're His? I love that pronoun, my, don't you? And mine. Story is told of some men who were hunting in the Welsh mountains, and they sat down to refresh themselves. They were in a remote area, and a shepherd boy came to them, and in conversation with this shepherd boy, they discovered that he didn't know anything about God. And so they took the time to begin to talk to him, and they used the imagery of the shepherd and the sheep to talk about the good shepherd that died for them and gave his life for him. And that little boy, with tears in his eyes, that little shepherd boy trusted Jesus Christ, his Savior. Trying to help him to understand that when the Lord saved him, they'd never leave him nor forsake him, they used Psalm 23 and verse number 1 to help him to understand the Lord would always be with him. And I want you to do it with me. I want you to take your left hand. I want to take your right finger, unless you're left-handed, and then you flip that around, okay? And I want you to do something with me, okay? Are you ready? I want you to, they were helping him understand something. I want you to point to some fingers like I do. I'm going to start with my thumb, and I want you to see where you're going to end up, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, let's do it one more time because I want you to see something. The Lord is my. Do you know where you'll wind up every time? You wind up on the ring finger. Now, I wear a wedding ring, and I pulled it off the other day, and my wife said, see there, you can go out without your wedding ring, and I've still got you branded because it's got one of those little indentions around my finger. She said, you won't ever get away from it. And I said, okay, it's lasted 30 years. And they taught him that the Lord would never leave him nor forsake him. They left. They came back several years later. They stopped by a cottage for a drink of water, and they began to talk to the lady there, and they saw a strangely familiar boy in a picture there in that cottage, and it was the same shepherd boy that they had led to Christ. He had become a man over the passage of time, and they asked about him. They inquired about him, only to find out that he was no longer alive. And so she began to tell the story about her son, that he was a shepherd, and she didn't know these men, didn't know anything about the relationship that they had had with her son years before. And so she was sharing with them what had happened, that he was a shepherd, and it had come a snowstorm, and trying to protect his sheep, that he had fallen into a crevice and he had frozen to death. And when they found him, she said it was the oddest thing. They found him, and he was grasping his ring finger. And they recounted the story of the Lord is my, that He would never, in the darkest, most severe moments of the life, He is my shepherd and He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He will always be there for me. Aren't you glad that He's the great shepherd today? It is a song of relationship. I hope you can fall in love with Him afresh and new today. What a wonderful truth that is. Nothing like it. Oh, happy day when we can honestly say, the Lord is my shepherd, and say, I belong to Him. He belongs to me. It's a song of realization. The Lord, it's a song of relationship, is my shepherd. And then it's a song of resource. I shall not want. It's interesting that the shepherd's song begins and ends with the divine name of Jehovah. Look at verse 1 of 23. The Lord, okay, is my shepherd. Now, go to the last phrase of verse number 6. It says, and I will dwell in the house of the who church? Lord forever. So it begins and ends with the Lord. And in between is the constant compassionate care He gives to those He calls His sheep. Notice He said, the Lord shall not want. When we think of the word want today, all right, we think of desiring something or wanting something. Take a kid to a candy store. I want the Hershey bar. I want the Reese's cup. Actually, when I was a kid, I wanted everything, okay? I wanted all the candy, but anyway, still do. But that's not how that word is used in this particular psalm. Over time, that word's changed. And it at first, when our King James translators placed it in our Bible, that word meant that you wouldn't suffer suffer lack, or you would not be without your basic necessities. It had the idea of suffering need. And so what he's saying is, I shall not suffer need. It doesn't mean that the Lord is our shepherd, and so that means I can get anything I want from God. No, what it means is that because He's my shepherd, I'll not lack anything I need from the Lord. And because the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack anything that I need. Both physical, emotional, spiritual, all of those things. And you're going to find that, as we saw earlier, the next five verses are going to flow out of this verse as He talks about what those needs are and how He meets them. Now, I love in Robert Morgan, in his book on Psalm 23, how he suggests that the Lord meets every one of our ternal needs, T-E-R-N-A-L, ternal needs. And you say, what in the world was that? I had to think about it myself for a moment. But then he explains himself, all right? He meets all of our external needs, the necessities of life, food, shelter, clothing. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. All the things we get hyped up about in life, God said, I know you need it. I promise to take care of it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, God says, I need to quit pursuing all these things, and I need to seek after Him. Now, that doesn't mean that I quit my job, and that's not what it means. It means that's not become the priority of my life, but seeking Him and His right. And He said, I'm going to take care of everything else in your life. How we've forgotten that. He's faithful, isn't He? And then our internal needs, the need to be loved, the need to have joy, to experience peace, to have assurance in our heart of our eternity, satisfaction, meaning, purpose, on and on it goes. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Let me tell you what the devil wants to do in your life. He wants to rob you and kill you and destroy you. That's what he wants to do. But Jesus said, in distinction to that, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. A full, joyful life. You ever noticed how the Bible says of people in the Old Testament as they died, that they died old and full of years? Now, there's a lot of people that die old, but they don't die full of years. Now, what does that mean? That means they didn't just live a long time, but they understood and lived life to its fullest for God for an entire life. It was a full life. It was a life looked back and well lived because it was lived for God. And you and I will never live a better life than living our lives for Jesus Christ. And then our eternal needs, which is a relationship with God, salvation, the forgiveness of sins, heaven. It's interesting how this has worked out. I've studied all summer long. I've got all kinds of books. My office is at home is a total wreck. On one side is Psalm 23. On the other side is heaven. Okay, because I've been studying between those what direction I was going to go as we moved into the fall, because I wanted to talk about heaven and who's there and what it's like and what's going to be. What are our loved ones experiencing in heaven right now? And you'll be surprised what the Bible says. We've been told, really, don't worry about heaven. He'll take care of itself. But yet God's told us a whole lot more about heaven than what we realize. And we're going to talk about that. And so I was back and forth. And again, while I was away planning in the direction God would have me to go, I read that phrase, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's heaven. And I thought, okay, Lord, that's going to be a great pathway into what You want us to go to next. So we're going to learn about who's in heaven, and then we're going to talk about where we're going to be with Him and what we're going to do throughout all eternity, because we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, why is that important, preacher? Because I'm going to live in heaven a whole lot longer than I'm going to live down here. And so all of this life is preparation for that life. If we don't live a life well lived here, okay? Now, everybody's going to be glad they're in heaven. But I think that there's some extra enjoyment of heaven because of a life well lived here. And I'll share that with you. I believe we're practicing down here for living for Him up there. Or in the new heaven, new earth. We're going to talk about that. Friend, there's nothing like knowing that when you leave this life, heaven is your home. Everlasting life. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. You know, in Bible times, shepherds, and even today, shepherds risk their lives for their sheep. You know, David talked about a bear that came out to ravage the flock. He talked about a lion, and there he said, "I took it by the beard." That means it was hand to hand. He wasn't sitting up there 300 yards away with a high-powered rifle to take care of that. No, no, no. He was down there hand to hand, face to face, paw to paw with that bear and that lion. He was risking his life to save his sheep. And so you're going to find they risk their lives. Jesus didn't risk his life, he gave it. That word giveth means to give as a gift. That means he willingly and voluntarily gave himself as a gift to you so that you could have the gift of eternal life. Preacher, what was that gift? That he would take my sin and your sin upon himself and go to the cross and would be brutally sacrificed for the sins of the entire world. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all of my sin. Every time I took God's name in vain, every time I had a wicked thought, every time I did a wicked deed, everything that's wicked in my life, God laid it on him. And friend, the same is true for you. He took every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit, and he laid it on his Son. And there our good shepherd gave his life to pay for the sins that you and I couldn't pay for. I got good news for you. The good shepherd is the great shepherd. He brought again our Lord Jesus from the dead. Our shepherd's not a dead shepherd. He's a living shepherd. He said, "I lay down my life that I might take it again." He willingly laid it down. He willingly took it up again. "No man takes it from me," he said. As the good shepherd, Jesus died to save sinners. As the great shepherd, he lives to shepherd saints. I'm going to read Hebrews 13:20 for you again. I'm going to add another verse. Listen carefully. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect." Do you know what God's doing in your life right now, Christian? He is perfecting you. Every circumstance, every situation, everything in my life, in your life, is designed by God to make us perfect. Now, I'm not going to be perfect down here, okay? And you not either. But one day we will be made completely perfect. But God's working on me right now to perfect me. And then he goes on to say, to make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Do you know what God's doing in us? He is perfecting us. He's working in us that he might work through us every good work to do his will. You know, if I'm not serving Jesus, I'm not allowing the great shepherd to do in my life that he wants to do as one of his sheep. Are you doing his will? Are you honoring him with your life? Are you laboring together at Calvary Baptist Church for the accomplishment of God's purpose? Are you allowing God to perfect you in every good work that he has for you? Listen to this. "Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight." Why? So that the shepherd would be pleased with one of his sheep. That's what he's saying. "Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Well, I'm reminded of a little girl that had a part in a Sunday school program. That was back when they did Sunday school programs, and they had all the little children all had a part, and they were singing some songs, and they were going to recite in her class one by one a verse of Psalm 23. And it was her job to recite verse number one, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so they were practicing in the class weeks and weeks and weeks, and finally the day came for the program. The audience was full, congregation full, and the little girl got up there in a little stage fright hit her, and she was looking out there at that congregation, you know, and her heart started racing, her words got all jumbled up, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." Well, you know what? She may have missed the words, but I believe she caught the meaning. "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." Let me say something to you this morning, okay? Sheep need a shepherd. They can't survive without one. And every person needs Jesus Christ. You need Him. You need Him more than you could ever imagine. You know, the Bible describes a person who's not saved as a sheep without a shepherd. They're directionless. They're lost. They have no purpose. They don't know where they're going. They're hurting and there's nobody to care for them. And you know what? The truth is, God said, I want to be your shepherd. The Bible said that He saw the multitudes, and the Bible said He was moved with compassion. That means His heart yearned after them because they were like sheep and didn't have a shepherd. You know what that meant? That meant He wanted to be their shepherd. Let me just tell you something, friend, this morning that's not sure you're saved or not sure you want Jesus in your life. He yearns for you. There's something in the heart of God that yearns toward you like a mother her child. But yet it's greater. Oh, listen, there's nothing like a love of a mom for her child. And I'm going to tell you something, that's not the greatest love this world's ever known. No, there's one greater, and that's God's love for you. And He wants to be your shepherd. He don't want you to go another day without you being one of His sheep and you, Him being your shepherd. He wants you to belong to Him today. Friend, you can't survive without Him. Why would you go another moment? Why would you go another moment without Jesus Christ? Why would you spend another broken-hearted day without the God of heaven to come alongside you to love you and comfort you and help you? Why try to navigate life without someone to guide you and lead you? Why do that? Why live life without meaning? Because it's when I recognize who I am and what Jesus Christ is in my life that I have full meaning. I belong to my Creator. I belong to my Savior. But it's more than that. He's not just my Master. He's not just my God. He's my Shepherd that loves me and cares for me and leads me and, watch this, and knows me. Why would you not come to Him today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around,